morning. How are you guys? So you are the ones who did not go off on spring break. All right. I get it. And those of you who are on spring break, I hope that you're right there online. So hello to everyone. It's good to have you guys here. It's always good to be together as God's people, as the body of Christ. We are going through a series right now. It's called Revelation. I said that was kind of a bait and switch. It was to kind of lure people in. They're thinking, oh, finally, somebody's going to be talking about the book of Revelation, and we're not. We're talking about what it means to be the body of Christ, the spiritual gifts, and how God reveals himself through us as his people. So it's important. It's important. It's good to be together as we study this, because that's what this whole thing's talking about. Some of you guys have been over to our house. If you've ever been to our house, many of you guys have been there, but you know, for various kinds of functions and stuff, but you've probably met our dog. Our dog is named Lucy, and our dog is a Cava golden doodle. And what that means is that she is part golden, you understand that part, golden retriever, part poodle, people get that part, but part of her is Cavalier King Charles, which is a smaller kind of breed. And so various aspects of her, you know, traits of her personality and also just kind of her physical makeup take these different traits from these different lines that have come into her. And so, for example, the Cavalier King Charles, like I said, she's a smaller dog. It also means that she loves to lick your face a lot. The other, the poodle part, that's what makes her hypoallergenic, so our kids can come and visit us without breaking into a rash, because Michael especially was, for a long time, was allergic to dog hair. But also, a couple years ago, so she used to just kind of go out, and she hadn't quite gotten in touch with her, you know, who she was. And so she would go out into the yard, and she'd do her thing and stuff, and she'd come in. But a couple years ago, she came in, took her a long time. She came in covered from top to bottom with dirt, because she started getting in kind of more in touch with her inner golden retriever. She had chased a rabbit, tried to dig it out from under the shed. So, you know, she is her unique self. She has her own personality. She's unlike any other Cava golden doodle. And yet, that uniqueness still finds its way through these traits that come down from her lineage, from her heritage. We find that in our own lives too, right? We all come from family lines, and we might find that our gifts or our abilities, our talents, maybe our physical traits, maybe our personality characteristics, that these come from those who have gone before. And so we inherit those from them, and then we express those, we reflect those in this world. When we're talking about spiritual gifts, one of the things that we need to realize is that we are part of God's family now. And for that reason, there are certain traits, there are certain kind of framings of this family that we now reflect. And that's what spiritual gifts are all about. We reflect the family that we come from. And so, as listed out in Ephesians 4, and that's the, in this whole series, that's kind of the passage that we're zeroing in on. It's Ephesians chapter 4, where it talks about the spiritual gifts. When you get down to like verse 10 and 9, 10, 11, and through the end of the chapter. So, but in that, it spells out that, you know, you may reflect as part of this family of God that you've been brought into. You may reflect at times, he may use you in the kind of, you reflect that authority of an apostle, or you might have like the insight of a prophet, or you might have that enthusiasm of an evangelist, or you might have that care and protective kind of instinct of a pastor, or you might have that understanding and of a teacher, that desire to see people's lives shaped to be more like Jesus. But all of these aspects, all of these kind of traits, they come from one source. They come from this family that we're a part of. They come from God the Father, who then made himself known through Jesus. And so all of these things reflect Jesus, who was the first apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. He is the one that we evaluate. How are we doing in these areas? Well, we compare ourselves, we kind of line ourselves up to him. So today, what we want to do is we want to find out more about what does this mean? What does this mean? What are these family traits that we are called to live into? And so we're going to push into that again. So if you stand with me, we're going to be touching on Ephesians 4 no matter what week we're in, but we're going to be back in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7 again today. This is Ephesians 4. There are four main sections of scripture that talk about spiritual gifts. This is one of them. We touched on last week. And so Ephesians or 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7. Last week we looked at 1 Peter 4. This is the second of these passages. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, my brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. A word that means unaware, ignorant. I don't want you to be kind of unknowledgeable about these things. You know that when you were pagans, before you knew Christ, you were led astray to idols who are gods that they don't have a voice. They can't even talk. However it was that you were led to them. But then he's going to contrast that, and he says, but the Spirit of God does talk. He says, but I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. We're going to talk about that, because that's kind of an interesting statement he makes. Now, there are a variety of gifts. We talked about these. So the Spirit of God speaks, but he also makes himself known through us. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. And to each one of us is given the outworking of the Spirit for the common good. What does it mean to be a spiritual person? Now, I don't mean by the definition that's out there of kind of being this semi-mystical, kind of head in the clouds, kind of seeing the unseen. I don't mean the definition the world gives. I don't mean the definition that you or I might come in. What is God's definition of what does it mean to be a spiritual person? What does it mean to have God fill us with his Spirit in a way that his Spirit is able to make known through us those gifts and the signs and the wonders to make known the very power of the kingdom of heaven through our lives? What does that mean? What does that look like? Does it look the same every time? Does it look the same in every person? Or maybe is it according to the need of the moment? He just kind of uses whoever he thinks of. Or are there things that maybe shape us that God ways that uses God uses us on a regular basis? Well, it can be kind of all those things. We're going to find out about that. What does it mean to be gifted by the Spirit of God and be a spiritual person, one of God's own sons or daughters? We want to find out what that means. What does it mean to find ourselves in those moments, in those times when God uses us and have ourselves be available to God for him to use in whatever way he wants? This morning, the message is titled Moments and Movements, Seasons and Streams, and we're going to be learning about those things. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this moment and the movement of your Spirit through us. Thank you for this season of our lives and the stream that just of your presence that regularly pours through us. Father, we want to learn about more about you, but more about what it means that we belong to you now. What it means to be your children. What it means to be spiritual people by your definition, what you intended. And it's there in your word. We want to learn what your word has to say about these things. So, Father, this morning, meet us here. Meet us in this place. This is just a common place, common, ordinary time of day. But, Father, you can take this time and this place and you can set them apart for your work. So, we ask you to do that. We ask you to make this a holy place. We ask you to drive out the darkness from this place so that we would have eyes to see, that you would silence the clutter and the voices, the noise, so that we would have ears to hear, that you would give us a softness of heart to understand so that we might see with our eyes, hear with our ears, understand with our hearts, and turn to you, that we might find ourselves renewed, restored, healed, rescued, established in the life that you intended for us from the beginning. So, Father, meet us here for your glory, because of your Son, by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. So last week, we touched on that first verse where Paul says, you know, I don't want you to be ignorant of these things called spiritual gifts. We looked at the terms that we actually use. I don't want you to be ignorant of the way that the Spirit makes himself known through you. I don't want you to be ignorant of that. God seems to say that he doesn't want us to be unaware of this lineage, this family kind of traits that are poured down, that we're born into. He doesn't want us to be ignorant of those things. And the reason he doesn't is because it would be detrimental. The same as if I was ignorant of my kind of the family lineage, or if I didn't pay attention to what had poured into me on that level, that would be detrimental to my life as well. Even in this physical world, I know that my life, to me, would feel less purposeful, less fulfilled, if I did not have outlets for this place where, from my dad's side, there comes this very kind of creative and musical side of things. And you see it all through his line. And I would not, it's come down, it's kind of been given to me as a gift, and I wouldn't feel as fulfilled if that weren't a part of my life. In the same way, from my mom's side, there's this kind of analytical and attention to detail and some of these things that come down and they come to my life. And I would not feel like I was approaching life right if there were not an aspect of that were in my everyday kind of experience. And you guys could look at your lives and say the same thing. There are certain things that bring you joy, that bring you energy and life in your life, and it's usually those things that have just, they're the ways that you've been shaped to go at life, that they bring you kind of, they come to mean what life is for you. In the same way, God says that when we were born anew by his Spirit, we came to him, we surrendered our lives, surrendered, kind of stepped off the throne of our life, we gave him that lordship of our life so that he became, yes, Lord to us, but also friend, also protector, Father. We entered into that space where he said, here's where you can find rest, where you can find that settledness, where you can find that calm, where you're not having to constantly provide for and protect yourselves and make your own life work. Here's where I intended you to live, is under the shadow of my wings, not under your own strength and your own kind of abilities. And so when we entered into that space, he said we were born anew. We were brought, it was like being born in this world, but that's the process that you go through. There's a whole process you're born into this world through. There's a whole process that you go through when you walk into that new life through a relationship with Jesus Christ. But he said, when that happens, you're born anew. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone's in Christ Jesus, they are new creation. The old things have gone, and the new things have come. And part of the new things that come online in this is this one, the presence, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us, and he begins to show himself through us. So these outworkings of the Holy Spirit, these ideas of this, you know, this thing of spiritual gifting is something that comes online. Well, what this is this kind of like getting a new spiritual DNA. It's like it's this new definition of who you are and an aspect of the life of Christ and the family of God that you he begins to work in you and reflect. But it also comes with the power, this empowering that we didn't have before, the very power of God to reflect the kingdom of God through your life. But a third part of this is also, it comes with this idea that, yeah, there is this change of leadership that happens in my life, right? In your life. When we choose to follow Jesus, we acknowledge him for who he is, that he's Lord, I'm not. It makes sense to me that he understands what he's doing better than I do. He understands, and so I follow him. I follow his lead. I take his wisdom instead of trying to come up with my own to make my own life work. There's a shift that happens. And as a result of that, he says that his Spirit then is able to lead and is able to show himself through me and make Jesus known, make the very grace of God known in this world. So what that means is that these gifts aren't really about what I bring to the table, right? They're not about my abilities or my hobbies or my strengths or weaknesses. They're not about my personality traits. They're not about those things. Now, God may use those things, right? So God might show himself, he might use the musical kind of background that I have. He might use those things, but that's not my spiritual gifting. He might use the extra version of my personality, but that's not my calling. He uses all those things that are part of this world, but within that, he shows this calling, this gifting. So what we want to know, what are those giftings about? What are these things about? Well, in 1 Corinthians, the passage starts out, it begins by reminding us that these expressions of the Spirit that all of us have. You guys, I want to get rid of this. You know, a lot of times we sit in church and we hear things about what God's word says about, you know, Christians, and we go, well, I guess that's good for some of the other people, but that's not me. Jesus says that, you know what, if you have a relationship with Christ, these things are about you. He has empowered each one of you with his Holy Spirit to reflect the life of Jesus to his church and to the world in certain ways. Every single one of us. So if you're not reflecting Jesus, we're not reflecting Jesus as a whole the way that we should be. If you're kind of sitting on the sidelines saying, no, that's not talking about me, we're missing you. We're missing your gift. We're missing the way the Spirit makes himself known through you. And because of that, we're missing one of the aspects of this multifaceted, this manifold grace of God that he shows to the world. If you're not engaged. And so all of us are given this, but these expressions of the Spirit that come through this, they start in this place, they start with a life that is fully aligned to the statement, how it says in 1 Corinthians 12, the statement, Jesus is Lord. Now, it's interesting that he starts there, isn't it? Because he says, I want you to know about spiritual gifts. First thing, Jesus is Lord. That's essential. Why does it start there? Well, because the life that's aligned with Jesus, not just the ability to say the words. Anybody can form those words in their mouth, right? They can spit. But I mean a life that cries out from the core of its identity of who he or she is, that cries out, no, Jesus is Lord. Lord of my life, Lord of this world. I have come to recognize that I'm not God, that some great, powerful person, and they're not God. Jesus is Lord. So no one can say that except by the Spirit of God, because when someone acknowledges that, that's when the Spirit comes in. That's when the Spirit, that is an insight that's given by the Spirit of God. That's an insight that changes everything. But the gifting starts there. Why? Because if you're not aligned to Jesus as Lord, his lordship, his leadership, acknowledging who he is, it's only those who acknowledge that leadership that he says that the Holy Spirit comes in and lives within. It's only those who acknowledge his leadership that the Holy Spirit can lead them in the direction that Jesus kind of, that reveals Jesus, right? If we're resisting, if we don't even acknowledge Jesus, we're not going to acknowledge the leadership of his Spirit. So there's no way he's going to be able to lead us in the directions that he wants to go. So the first thing is this, is anchored in this life that is grounded in the lordship of Jesus Christ. This is not about being a practitioner of some religion that has Jesus' name attached to it, right? So it's not just about, I grew up in church, I do Christian things. It's not about that. It's not about that I know a lot about the Bible. I know it inside. It's not about that. It's that this relationship with Jesus has been established, where we recognize that, yes, he's my friend. He is my Savior. But he is Lord. I've stepped off the throne. He sits on the throne. I follow his lead. I don't ask him to follow mine. So if you truly know Jesus, if you know who he is, then he says his Spirit lives within you. And if his Spirit lives within you, he and has made you alive, you can with all sincerity say Jesus is Lord, and you cannot say the words with any sincerity that Jesus is accursed. You just wouldn't. You might be able to, again, form the words. I just said those words in the same string. But there's nothing in my in who I am that would ever say those words with meaning. That I would be saying that those are true. Because everything within me is in contradiction to that. So 1 Corinthians says then that prerequisite is this lordship of Christ. And as a result, we have the Spirit. And as a result, then the Spirit begins to make himself known through us. So the first question that we need to ask ourselves is that question of, Do I see in my life that everything within my life cries out that Jesus is Lord? Is that how my life is aligned? Do I see that within my life, Jesus is my value, Jesus is my purpose, Jesus is my goal, Jesus is everything that is meaningful to me. He is more to me even than my career. He is more to me than my possessions. He is more to me even than my family. He is more to me even than my own physical life, being alive in this world. Jesus is Lord. Because it says, if we ask that question, and that question, that's the starting point for understanding the giftings of God. Not just the traits of my family lineage, but the giftings of God. So then 1 Corinthians 12, it goes on in the next three verses. It talks verse 4 through 6. It says, if you say that Jesus is Lord and the Spirit lives within you, then there are different ways that the Spirit shows himself. And it says, there are many gifts, but there's one Spirit. So this one Spirit is giving out all these gifts. Now the word that's used there is this word charismata. We looked at it last week. It's this charis is the word for grace. And so it's these kind of different ways that God reveals his grace. There's many ways that God reveals his grace through our lives. But there's only one Spirit who's initiating all of it. And it says, and there's many, and it says, this next word, it says ministries, but the word is actually, it's based on a word, diakoneon, which means services. It's the word that we get deacon from, okay? It means one who serves. And so there are many ways to serve, but there's only one Lord we're serving, okay? So there's many gifts, but there's only one Spirit giving them out. There's many ways to serve, but there's only one Lord we're serving. And there's many, and this is word energemata, which means ways that God empowers us, okay? There's many ways that God empowers us, but there's only one God. There's the same God who empowers and enables all things and all people. In all of us. So, but in these three, as we're talking about spiritual gifts and saying, what are these things? We see three different aspects of kind of ways that God shows his gifting of us. And I want you to think about your own life and see if God hasn't kind of shown himself in these different ways. First, there's this charismata, and this is these pieces of grace that we have, these facets on this diamond called God's grace, that each of us is like this unique facet through which he shows himself. Now, I may not be the same facet as you, but my facet and your facet both show the beauty of the same diamond called God's grace. And in fact, when my facet and your facet interact and the light goes bouncing between them, it makes it even more brilliant to see the beauty of this diamond called grace, right? Well, this charismata is then, what is that piece that God has given me? What is that DNA of when I was born anew? What is that thing, that calling that's on my life, ways that he regularly uses me? Well, we saw those in 1 Peter 4. We saw those just now in Ephesians chapter 4. And these are those facets, that unique calling that's on my life as God's person, where his Spirit shows himself through that. As opposed to that, there are these ways that these ways that we serve Jesus. Now, there are many ways that we serve Jesus that aren't necessarily fully aligned. They may be, but they may not be fully aligned with this facet, this person, this character of who I am, this giftedness that I have, right? For example, I may find that out of those five in Ephesians, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, I may find that I'm gifted. I have the charismata, the gift of grace of a pastor, or let's say of a teacher, right? And I love to teach people and see their lives shaped by the grace of God. So I teach people. But God, at some season in my life, he says, you know what? I need you to learn more about what it means to be a prophet, because I want you to know how they function. I also want you to have some of the insight that they bring to the church in your teaching. So he brings us in a season, and he almost uses us and trains us as a prophet, even though it doesn't go completely in line with all that we are, because he's doing it so we'll be a better teacher, which is who we are. But he takes us in a season in another area. Now, I want to get this out of theory, right? I'm going to get this kind of to ground level so you guys have something to kind of maybe grab onto a little bit more. This isn't totally about gifting, but let's say that you're somebody that loves working with adults, right? And you're still that teacher and you say, I love teaching adults. They sit there, they take notes like all you guys are, no. They understand, they engage with me, you know, they ask good questions. I love teaching adults. Well, at any moment, the Lord Jesus Christ could say, you know what? There's a need for people to help out in the nursery, just hold babies. They can't talk, let alone take notes. They will never ask you a good question. You know, and that's the thing that really fires you up because you're just wired for adult teaching. But there's a need for that. And that's a way to serve Jesus and a way that he can empower you to serve him so that the whole body might be built up is to go just serve in the nursery for a season. Right? So we have that wiring that's us, the charismata, but there's the servings that can also be the gifts of Christ, right? Have you guys ever heard that? You guys ever heard of needs like in children's ministry or youth ministry and you're going, eh, boy, that's not me. Well, okay, maybe it's not you, but maybe it is something God's calling you for. And we always have to be open for that. The third one is this word that literally means the empowerings, the energemata. This is where God empowers you. Maybe you're sitting there in a moment and God needs somebody he can use. God needs somebody to have the authority of an apostle, maybe the insight of a prophet. Maybe he needs someone to speak a word with clarity like a teacher or to care for someone like a pastor, right? And that's not you. But in that moment, he says, I need you to be that person. I need you to reflect Jesus in a way that's maybe not your calling, but in this moment is needed, and Jesus is needed in this moment. So I need you, and I will empower you to be that person. Okay, that doesn't make you a different calling. He says, you know, our giftings are like, you know, you have hands and feet and lungs and kidneys in the body, and the lung doesn't all of a sudden turn into a kidney one day, right? But in this body, the lung might, you know, that's our calling. That's who we are in the body of Christ. And yet he says, you know what, I need someone to step in and do the work of this other. And so I'll empower you to do that. Why are we able to do that? Because we're so great? No. It's not about me. It's not about none of this has been about me or my strength or my abilities that I brought to the table. It's because of the Spirit who lives in me. He can do whatever he wants. He can empower us and gift us in whatever he wants, whenever he wants. So the questions that come up in this, the first question was, do I know Jesus in that personal way, that Jesus is my Lord? The second set of questions is this. For those who do know Jesus, do I know what my calling is? Do I know what that facet is that God has placed me in this body of Christ so that I might reflect Jesus in certain ways? Do I know what that is? Do I know whether I land in this kind of stream of apostle or prophet or evangelist, pastor or teacher? Do I know that? A second question that comes in this set is, am I available to the Spirit for him to use me however he needs me in whatever season he needs me, for as long as he needs me there? Am I available to serve the one I call Lord? I'm available so that the body of Christ might be built up and Jesus might be made known. The third one is, am I listening always for the Spirit in every moment, in case I'm that person that he needs to use in that moment, that he needs to empower for his ministry in that moment? Do I have my ears open to hear him? Do I have my eyes open to see what he's doing? Do I have my heart open, soft to him, to feel that nudge when he says, I need someone here, you're that person. This is not going to be according to your calling. This is not going to be maybe according to a season you've gone through. This is going to be because I need you here and now. So in that sense, all the gifts are available to us because the Spirit is in us, right? He may use anything in us. We're not limited in that sense. We're limited only by that he is the one that gives out these giftings. This also limits this line. I hear this a lot. I don't dislike the people who say these things. I just don't like that they say this. But often, how often have you ever heard yourself saying this? I can't do that because that's not my gift. It may not be your gift. It may be your season, though. And it may be the moment. So never do we step away from what might be the calling of God to make his grace known through the power of his Spirit who lives in us. So goes through the lordship, goes through this idea of there's different ways that he shows, but and then he says, and to each one of us, this outworking has been given for the common good. And he lists these like 20 or so things. And I want to tell you guys, many people go to this list of like 20 or so, you know, gifts in Corinthians. What they represented was the Corinthians saw God work in certain ways. And they said, this is definitely God at work. And Paul lists them. You know, it might be leadership and administration and caring for one another, mercy. It may be things that are crazy, like speaking in tongues or miracles or healings or, you know, and all of this was in the spectrum of things that they saw. And all of this is in the spectrum of things that the church has seen down to this very day. And so many times we go to that list. But these gifts in 1 Corinthians are really kind of like flavoring gifts or like coloring gifts. They color these five main streams of what God does that are found in Ephesians chapter 4. That's why we focused on that passage. Ephesians 4 talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? Because that's the spectrum of, one, what Jesus did. It's the spectrum also of everything the church does can be found in those five streams. So he says, I have gifted each one of you, and one of those, I've set you in that stream. That is your charismata. That is your calling, is to find out which of these streams, where's your heart at? Where's the aspect, that trait of the family of God, the trait of Jesus? Are you fired up by the ministry of teaching, of shaping lives through the word? Are you fired up by this speaking out with clarity the things of God as a prophet? Which of these are you in? These gifts in 1 Corinthians, they kind of flavor those. So you can be a leader, right? You can have the gift of leadership, but do it, lead as an apostle, or you can lead as a pastor. You can lead as an evangelist. They flavor these things, but we're going to focus on these five streams. So in Ephesians 4, verse 7 and then 11 through 13, listen to what it says. It says, to each of us grace, here's that word charis, right? From which we get charismata, this gift thing, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, we looked at that last week. We said that was, you know, it comes in the fullness of Christ, so it comes with full power and everything. But it's also that Christ, the Spirit of God, has measured out to us these aspects of grace. Aspects in a way that then in verse 11 it says, so that he gave some as apostles. That was their measure of grace, or the grace that was measured to them. Some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, some as teachers. And you have these five things that are laid out here. For the equipping of the saints, for the work, and that's that word diakonos again, service, the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to this mature new creation, not just as individuals, but as the people of God, so that to all the fullness that belongs, the maturity that belongs to the fullness of Christ, so that we'll reflect all of who Jesus is. Okay? These five gifts. Now, these five gifts are often called the fivefold. These are what we're going to be focusing on in this series. But I just real quick want to give you because I want you to think about these things. And as I'm describing this, I want you to think about which of these ways do I see God, either I have a kind of a tug towards, or do I see God regularly using me in this way? And I'm going to start with some of the easier ones to understand. So the teachers, right? These aren't just dispensers of information, but these are people that have a heart and also an ability to see people's lives, not just information, but transformation, the transformation of lives through God's word. They're able, when they share the word of God, people are able to take it and there's understanding that's transferred so that they understand and it doesn't just shape their minds, but it shapes their hearts. Okay, that's what he means by teachers. It's these disciplers. Is that you? Or maybe it's pastor. Pastor literally is the word for shepherd. And it means those who have this heart for caring for God's people, gathering and connecting God's people with one another, building up the community called the church. But not just caring and you know, kind of soft-hearted towards everyone. But I mean, these are also the ones that, I mean, they're protectors, right? If a wolf comes in, grabs a sheep, the shepherd's the one that goes out and beats the wolf over the head with a club to bring the sheep back, right? So these aren't like passive little, you know, oh, we just love people. It's not that. There's this heart for seeing the people of God cared for and brought up and matured into the what they're called to be as the church. Is that you? Maybe it's on the other side, the apostle. The apostles are those who go into the heavenly places and they're given this sense of clarity, but also authority in establishing things, not just in this kind of in the physical world. A lot of times they think of them as they're not just church planters or church leaders. They're people that they go in prayer and they go into the heavenly places and they clear space for the church to be the church. They wrestle spiritually on behalf of the church so that this room is made so the church can be planted, so the church can be healthy and be unharassed. They do that work. Prophets are the ones who give kind of insight and clarity. They see into the spiritual world and they speak the things they see. Oftentimes they see like visions or dreams and people go, that sounds kind of crazy, right? But those are prophets. Prophets are the eyes and the ears of the church. They see into the heavenly places, and they're the ones who can make known what God is showing and doing, what's true. And then the evangelist like stands between those two worlds, the world, those who are operating kind of in that spiritual realm, those who are operating kind of on the ground with the people of God, and they stand in the middle, and they see the things that are true in the spiritual realm. And they speak them in a way that establishes them in this world, okay? We think of evangelists as those who go and share Jesus with people who don't know him, but that's only one part, right? They see that Jesus is the Savior of the world, so they want people to know that. They want that embedded. They want heaven embedded in earth, and so they make that known. But they also come to the church and say, you guys have forgotten what it means that Jesus has won us this victory. You're asleep. Instead of being awake, evangelists are highly enthusiastic, highly energetic often, highly encouraging often, because they remind us of the things that are most true and how that might be seen and shown in this real world, in this church, in our lives. That's an evangelist. So as you're looking at those, you probably have one or two of those that are just kind of, you're like, yeah, there's something about that one that rings true in me. And now God might use you as a season or in a moment in a different way, but just generally, you're going to find that one of those is a stream that God has shaped you for, that you have been born anew in order that you might reflect that aspect of Jesus, both within this church and within this world. Now, we haven't gotten into detail. I know you guys have a lot of questions about that. We're at the beginning of this sermon series, and we don't have the time to dig into it any deeper than that. But I want you to do some initial things with this, okay? Last week we talked about how we have now made it possible for you to text the church, right, at the church phone number. And so I'm going to put the phone number up here, and I want you guys to text something to the church just as kind of to get you guys started in this and so that we have some stuff that we can follow up with. The first thing, so the phone number is 401-884-8632. So I'm asking you to pull out your phones and to actually text something to this number. Now, what I want you to do is, I want two things. One, if as I was talking about that relationship with Jesus, and you go, you know, I don't know that I have that kind of relationship with Jesus. I don't know that I know Jesus as a friend. I don't know that all that is within me calls out that I rest in that place anchored in him. I don't know that I know what you're talking about in that. If that's you, that's the place you start. If you're talking about spiritual gifting, if that's you, I want you to just simply type the word Jesus and send it to that number. You can type your name so we know who you are, but type the word Jesus so that we know, and we can follow up, because that's the place to start. You need to know, I don't care where you're coming from, if you've grown up in the church all your life and you still feel like, I don't know that I know Jesus in that way, that's the place we start. None of the rest matters. None of the rest matters. Nothing about gifting, nothing about religion, nothing about how many years you have put in or how many, you know, different types of churches you've been in. None of that matters. The relationship with Jesus is what God intended from the beginning. So if that's something that's not, that you're not sure of, that's something we want to start with. Okay, so just take that number and type that in. If you would like someone to get in touch with you and just talk to you about what does it mean to have that relationship with Jesus where you're born anew into his family. Okay, but those of you who have that relationship and you're kind of getting into this gifting thing for the first time, I want you to take that list, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, based on those rough kind of outlines I gave you. And I want you to just pick, what do you think your top two are? What are the things, those areas that you think God might be, again, put your name so we know who you are, but also put the top two, just the two that you're thinking, I think this might be mine, my gifting, my charismata, my calling in this church. Maybe, you know, I discern things and I like to teach, or I'm enthusiastic about, I see things that God has done and I want people to know it. Write them down, type them out so that we can see those things. Because we want to get a sense of who are we as a body. We need to learn who we are so that we know how these gifts work together, how we can be the church, the people of God that reflect the fullness of Jesus, both within the church but also to the world. The last thing I want you to do is I want you to take down a couple more things, okay? Last one, and same number. You can either text this word, again, your name and this word, test, to that, or you can go to our website at cccov.org and see fivefold test. I want you guys this week to, if you go to those places, we will send you a link that you can go and you can take kind of this survey. You can take this test. It's just questions that they'll ask you, and then they will give you their top two. They say, based on these questions, these are the top two. You can compare those, the ones you guessed and the ones that they said. But no matter what, this isn't just to, you know, throw you in a box somewhere. This is to get a conversation started so that we can be discovering, finding out what are these giftings, what are these five streams that God has, where are they represented, who are they represented in, who has God given to this body as his gift because he has shaped them in this stream that they bring, this insight, this perspective they bring to this church so that we might know him better, so we might reflect him better. Because all of you guys have these family traits. All of you, if you know Jesus. That's not the question. It's just really trying to figure out how does the Spirit of God use me within the wider body of Christ. We want to be able to follow up with you. We want to become that body of Christ to this community. Amen? I want this church, I hope we all want this church to reflect the fullness of Jesus in a way that people don't just see a bunch of individuals running around this church. They see Jesus show up when the people of this church show up because we know who we are, we know how the Spirit works through us, and we have given him free rein to do that, to make Jesus known. Amen? Does that sound okay? Can we do that? Okay, that's homework. I don't always do that, but this week, make sure to write that down and be in touch with us, okay?